There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Young reviewer, young minds, big ideas.
We are not alone in the studio, are we, Rachel?
We are not. We are very lucky today, and we are joined by Armina. Hello, Armina.
Hello.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself, your school, and you can say your lovely family is sitting behind us, so you can say hello to them as well if you wish.
So my name is Armina. I'm 9 years old and I go to King's School, Dubai.
Brilliant. Have you got any favourite teachers or librarians you'd like to give a shout out to?
My class teacher, Miss Leggett, and my librarian, Mrs. Weaver.
Excellent.
You have a blog as well, don't you?
Yes.
Do you want to tell us what it's called?
It's called Telling Tales.
And so what's the tagline? I thought this was quite cool. It's not just where a place where you review books, is it? You do something else as well.
Yes. Based on the theme within the book, I either create a craft or bake a treat.
I think that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, so the tagline on it is read it, make it, bake it.
Yes.
So I just thought that was a really cute idea.
I think it's fantastic. Make books come alive. Good for you.
So Robin Stevens is the author of the book that you're talking about today. Would you mind telling us a little bit about her? What do you know about Robin?
Oh, well, Robin Stevens, I know that she studied crime fiction, and she has written a series of books called Murder Most Unladylike, which I find really interesting.
One of your questions for her, because you sent me some questions to ask her, was about why she chose crime fiction as a genre, wasn't it?
Yes.
There was another question that you had for her as well, because your dad was concerned about some of the books that you were reading. Remind us of the question that you wanted to ask her.
What do you think that murder is an appropriate topic for children?
Such a brilliant question,
yeah,
isn't it?
So we asked Robin those two questions, why crime fiction and if murder is an appropriate topic for children. Here's the first clip.
Basically, I chose it because crime fiction is my favourite kind of story to read. I never get bored reading a crime novel, and I think most people don't get bored reading a crime novel because they are just so interesting. There's a puzzle to solve. You have to work out what happened along with the detective. You have to read it in a very active way that means you can't kind of get bored and put it down. And I think that it's really important to choose a kind of story that you really enjoy as a reader to write, because it means that during the, you know, drafting process, during the planning process, you are always engaged, you are always fascinated, and you never switch off, and that means that you can tell a story that will really fascinate readers in turn.
Did that answer your question, Armina?
Yes, it did.
Right, so the second one was, the brilliant question was, whether murder is an appropriate topic for children to read about, and is that a question that she gets a lot? Here you go.
Yes, people ask me that all the time, and it's interesting, the people who ask me are always the parents and the teachers, and that is a completely natural response, because I think as adults, we worry about, you know, children in our lives, we worry about whether they're reading things that are appropriate.
Mm.
But I wrote Murder Most Unladylike because I have a really clear memory of being 12 years old and reading Agatha Christie for the first time and being just fascinated by it, being just amazed at how intricate it was, at how exciting it was, and how serious it was. I think there's something that's quite different about murder to almost any other type of book, any type of mystery, because at the beginning of the story, somebody is dead, and that means that all your sort of natural desire to see justice done is fired up, and you have to keep reading, you have to know what happens, because you want to see that murderer punished. It's not so much about enjoying the crime as being horrified by it and wanting to fix it, and that is what murder mysteries allow you to do. And that is something that I think children enjoy as much as adults, because children know that terrible things happen every day, even from quite a young age. I remember understanding that crimes happened and being worried about that and wanting to think about it. And I actually think it's important for children to be allowed to consider dark topics, scary topics, in a way that is safe, in a way that is ultimately positive, so they can have the experience of working through those thoughts and trying to understand it in a framework where you know at the end everything is going to be okay.
I think that was a brilliant answer to what was also a brilliant question. And I think it's so true. And I think what it is with children's books is it's not so much that writers like Robin are showing that monsters and terrible things happen. They're showing that they can be solved and that they can be fought and justice can be done. And I think it's a really good point. And as she says, she was reading Agatha Christie from kind of 11 and 12. And I was as well. The interesting thing about Robin Stevens is that we have quite a similar background. I was reading her biography and we were both born in California. We both went to boarding school. And at the same time that she was getting all these Agatha Christie books off the shelf, I was doing the same thing at boarding school. And so is that the kind of thing you found interesting? Did you like her books because they contained this kind of murder that needed solving and it had high stakes?
Yes, I did, because it makes you think a lot and it makes you wonder who murdered that person and makes you want to read till the end of the book.
Yeah, there's something about a puzzle, isn't there, that you just have to solve and you have to find out what happened. I completely agree. And you've read her other books, haven't you? The Wells and Wong mysteries, Murder Most Unladylike.
Yes.
What did you think of those?
I thought they were really interesting because they were all set in different places and the two main characters were from totally different places and they had loads of different personalities.
So yes. She's very good at creating kind of diverse characters, isn't she? So
yes.
It's not the kind of stereotypical characters that you'd find in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's important? There's been a lot of talk in the book world about representing all sorts of different sorts of people within literature. Do you agree with that? Do you like to find somebody that's like you or even someone that's really unlike you so
yes.
you can discover more?
I like to read about people that are unlike you because then I can feel what it's like to be in those people's shoes.
Brilliant. And this is interesting when it comes to the characters in the Guggenheim mystery, isn't it? Because you've got some very different, very strong characters in there. Who is your favourite character?
I like Ted Spark because he's very unique and he sees the world through a very different perspective to people.
He does. And have you read, because the interesting thing about this, and I think Robin speaks about it a little bit, is the fact that this is the second book in a series, isn't it? Have you
yes.
read the first book?
Yes, I did.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's about Ted Spark, who lives in London, where his cousin and aunt come to visit him, and they go on an outing to the London Eye. But then his cousin goes missing on the capsule, and then you never realise what actually is going to happen next because it doesn't tell you anywhere throughout the book. But then once you've finished the book, you realise that there were clues throughout it and you just didn't notice them.
Yeah, it's brilliantly done, isn't it? I would say I kind of, after I'd finished, I went back to search for where all those clues were. And it's brilliantly done in the sense that not only is the plot very kind of neat and slick and really well done, but it's based on the characters, isn't it? How it's solved. And so
yes.
only Ted, arguably, could have figured out what happened. And
yeah.
that's what makes it brilliant. Yeah, I agree. And so for this second book, she was basically just given a title, wasn't she? And the characters from the first one. And I think, is it right, Annabelle, that we've got Robin talking a little bit about
that? Here she is talking about what it was like continuing Siobhan's legacy.
It was an exciting challenge, but as soon as I started, I realised how daunting it was going to be. All I had was the title. Siobhan had obviously written the whole of the London Eye mystery when she died, but she hadn't really started to plan the Guggenheim mystery yet. It was just, it existed as that, those three words, the title. And I had to pick it up and work out not just what the mystery was going to be, but work out what Siobhan might have wanted the mystery to be. And that was sort of layers of mystery to uncover.
So the Guggenheim mystery, can you outline what happens in this book? And did you enjoy it as much as the London Eye mystery?
I think I liked this book. They both were really different, but they had the same... The characters, they developed throughout the story, and the two events weren't very far away from each other, the timing. So they were like a few months away from each other, and... Ted, it's really funny at the beginning because he has a folder full of his lies and he doesn't have any. But then at the end of the book, he has 9 of them. So I find that really interesting too.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's all about how he learns that sometimes lies can be useful. And so obviously
yes.
everyone always says honesty is always the best policy. But he realises that when you're solving a mystery, sometimes you have to be slightly twisty with the truth, doesn't it?
Yes.
So in the London Eye mystery, Salim... His cousin went missing. What's the mystery in this? What's gone missing in the Guggenheim mystery?
a priceless painting from one of the galleries that was really new.
Yes, it's Kandinsky, isn't it? A Kandinsky picture goes missing. Over to you, Armina.
When the painting was stolen, everyone kept saying that it was priceless. That was not correct. They should have said that it was worth $20 million in New York, which is £16.2 million if you're in London, where Kat and Mum and I live. This is because of something called the exchange rate, which decides the number of dollars you can buy for a pound, or the other way around. The exchange rate isn't always the same, which I find very interesting. It was very difficult for me to understand how a painting could be worth so much. Unlike photographs, paintings are not always accurate or realistic. I can see why a photograph would be valuable, because it shows you what the photographer saw at the very moment the picture was taken. My cousin Salim loves photography, and his photographs helped us solve the mystery of his disappearance. When I look at his pictures, I can tell exactly how the world looked when he took them. It's like time travel. But paintings are not like that. And so at first, I wasn't very interested in the stolen painting. But then Aunt Gloria was blamed. The police thought that she had stolen it, and they tried to put her in prison. That would be bad for her, and also bad for Salim. Salim is my cousin and one of my seven friends. And so I knew that I had to help him by getting the painting back again and proving that Aunt Gloria had not been the one to take it. This is how I and Kat and Salim did it.
First of all, round of applause for brilliant reading. That was so... If I ever have another audiobook made of my books, I want you to be the reader. Brilliant. That was such a good extract to pick. That's one of my favourite extracts as well, because it totally sums up what Ted is all about, doesn't it? His yes. way of thinking. The fact that he has very kind of quirky ideas about things, but actually they make perfect sense when you hear him discuss them. And so why is art so overpriced, arguably, when photos are actually quite cheap? And so it's quite interesting to hear him talk like that. In terms of, you've said that you're fascinated by Ted and you loved yes. him as a character. Is there anything particular that you liked about him over and above this kind of interesting way of thinking?
I liked how he compared his flight to New York to the epic The Odyssey by Homer, the yes. Greek poet, because flights in these modern times are quite safe, but he compared it to the terrifying journey of Odysseus. So I thought that showed that he hadn't had much experience with flying.
Yes, it was a brilliant use of, you know, when you bring other books into your own yes. book as an author, and it kind of adds something extra. So you could see, exactly like you say, that he was on this kind of expedition, and that not only was it the flight, it was his whole time in New York, and the fact that he was going through all these changes, and it was so unusual. But actually, he talks at the beginning about how afraid he is of change, and how he doesn't know yes. if he'll cope. But then how do you think he copes when he gets there?
I think he starts by feeling a bit afraid and quite shy, but then once he's gone to the museum a few times and explored over the rest of New York, he starts to bring up his confidence.
It does, doesn't it? And in some ways, he copes better than many of the rest of them, because they're all so upset about Aunt Gloria and her arrest, whereas Ted is very kind of factual.
Yes.
And he has such an amazing memory. Are there any scenes that you particularly like where we can see how great his memory is? In terms of, or anything where he sort of solves the crime through his way of thinking. The one I had in my head was the fact that he's the only one that notices. They think the picture's been stolen in a crate, but he's yeah. the only one that remembers exactly how many crates there were, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he remembers how many crates there were and the dimensions of the paintings that they couldn't fit inside.
Yes.
And then he also remembered that a painting has to look like they have brush strokes on it, not the picture, and that's how they solved at the end.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating.
I like the way that he noticed patterns all the time, and I like that you brought up the Odyssey as well, because he does use that throughout his adventure in New York, doesn't he? Almost as a way of becoming less like the scared person that you saw that he was at the beginning, and it was almost like a coping mechanism, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because he was able to compare what he was going through to something that he knew already and understood.
And that someone had been through and survived and actually become a hero.
Well, so we actually asked Robin how difficult it was to write Ted. So
I did find it difficult at first, partly because Siobhan has done such a wonderful job with him. He is such a well-rounded character. He's somebody you could really imagine meeting, and reading The Lentini Mystery, you feel like you know him and you feel like you care very deeply about him. So trying to write him was, first of all, I wanted to make sure that I was echoing the character that Siobhan had created and writing a Ted who would feel like the Ted from The Lentini Mystery. But, you know, knowing that he has Asperger's, knowing that this is a condition that, or this is something that lots of people, you know, this is who they are, and wanting to create that character respectfully. I did a lot of reading about, you know, Asperger's, about autism. I read an amazing book called The Reason I Jump, which was really helpful to me. And, I mean, I know that, you know, everyone is unique, everyone has different experiences of autism and Asperger's, but I tried to use research and talk to people and get as close as I could to that person that Siobhan had created.
Do you agree? Do you think that Ted, to you, when you were reading the book, felt like a real person?
Yes, I did, because he did think differently to me, but he had lots of different feelings, and he changed his, well, he became more confident throughout the book, and
he develops, doesn't he,
yes,
in an interesting way, and he remains himself. So even though he's changing, he's not changing to someone without all the quirks that make him him.
Yeah.
He's just a kind of stronger, more confident version of himself, mm-hmm, isn't he? And we talked kind of outside of this about whether you knew anybody who had Asperger's or autism.
No, I don't.
But do you feel now, because you talked about how much you like to read characters who are a bit different, and
yes,
do you feel that having read about Ted, that if you met someone who you would start to think, oh, they're behaving a little bit like Ted from the Guggenheim Mystery, that it would help you understand kind of different ways of thinking?
Yes, I think it would.
Yeah, I think that's the power of books like this, isn't it? I think it's brilliant, whereby they're not trying to over-explain what autism is or what Asperger's is. They're just kind of showing a child with that who obviously struggles a little bit interacting but can connect with people, and it's brilliantly done.
I don't know about you, Armina, but one of the things that I really liked about this was that she chose the Guggenheim because it's a really interesting place, and the way that Ted describes it is this circular ramp that spirals round and round where you can see all the paintings all at once. I thought that was quite an interesting choice of setting, and it was really interesting to hear Robin talk about why the Guggenheim is the perfect place to kind of match with Ted as a character. This is what she had to say about that.
Following it, reading about the Guggenheim, visiting the Guggenheim, I really started to understand what the story should be, because obviously the Guggenheim isn't a museum in a traditional sense. You know, we imagine, I think, often a museum being a sort of large square building that's quite old with lots of artifacts and, you know, some old paintings. But of course the Guggenheim in New York is this quite small building that is round, and it has this ramp going up the center of it, so you can look at art in a very different way. And realizing that and seeing that space, I realized that it was a different sort of concept of a museum, in the same way that Ted's brain is quite different from the other people in his family's brains, and he sees the world in a very unique way. And I kind of understood that Siobhan wanted to write a book that was centering difference, that was talking about how unique Ted is, that was giving a unique perspective on a museum mystery. And that was kind of the beginning of the plot that I put together and the story that I ended up writing.
Does that make sense to you, hearing
her?
Yes. It's an excellent explanation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you, after reading the book, did you find, I mean, I presume you haven't been to the Guggenheim Museum.
No.
But did you go away and find out more?
Yes, I did. I found out that the person who made it wanted to make it unique and wanted to make it different from any other museum, so that people wouldn't judge it by, that they wouldn't think that it would just be a square building with just any painting. They would want to think that's very unique, and that represents the character of Ted, because he's inquisitive, unique.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And they didn't want it to be just a place where the paintings were kept. It was a piece of art along with all the other paintings, which is such a nice idea, isn't it? I really like that. And also, I don't know if you read this bit, but originally it was planned to be shown with no lights whatsoever.
Yeah, I was just about to say,
And that's so fascinating. And that's so impractical. And I love that as the creative person's idea of how it should be. And obviously they had to put the lights in later. And interestingly, that has an impact on the story.
But I think my favourite part, I had no idea that... The vantage point in the Guggenheim means that you can see multiple paintings at once, so you can see things individually and all together. And I thought that that was a wonderful metaphor for the way Ted sees things. He sees patterns, he can kind of see the bigger picture of everything, but he can also see things up close and in detail as well.
Yeah, it's a brilliant book because it's on so many levels, isn't it? You can read it as a simple mystery, you can read it as a character kind of exploration of Ted, and you can read it in this way where you have so many things going on. You talked about how he could see the dimensions and the size of the picture, so he could figure out where it couldn't go, and then he has this perfect memory of where everything was at the time, and so he could figure it out. It's brilliant, isn't it? If you had to pick what you thought the book was best at doing, do you think it's best as a plot book or best as a character book? Or best as a kind of setting book? What do you think the strengths are of it?
I think maybe describing the character and making the reader feel that they're the character and they can feel what's it like to be in their shoes.
Interesting. So you felt that you could really get inside of Ted and get...
Yes.
And when you finished the book, did you feel that in some ways you saw the world slightly differently as a result of reading it?
Yes.
Which is a fantastic thing for a book to achieve, isn't it?
One thing I want to ask you is, because you've got this amazing blog where you make crafts or you bake something in reference to a book that you review, if you're going to review the Guggenheim mystery on your blog, which I'm guessing you are, I don't know, I'm assuming, what kind of craft or baking thing are you going to do?
I was thinking maybe a cake which was shaped like the Guggenheim and maybe decorated with paintings.
That would be a feat of engineering.
It would. And do we get some of that cake?
Yes.
Rachel is a bit cake obsessed.
I love cake, I have to be honest. Now, you have been so impressive with all the reading and all your thoughts. And you've got this blog, and I didn't know about it until you arrived here today, so I'm going to read it. But for everybody else out there who wants to have a look at the kind of things you write and the kind of things you make and bake, can you give us the address of your blog? And just tell us a little bit more about how often you put things on there and what they'll find there.
Okay, so the address is all lowercase telling-tales.blog. And every 2 weeks I put a post on with either make or bake. And then every month I have an author of the month feature. And this month is Linda Davies because I met her at the Emirates Literature Festival. I also have competitions monthly and also writing competitions.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I'm going to be a big fan from now on. I shall be signing up when I get home.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.